be turning to Hebrews chapter 6. Our first verse will be coming from there in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6. Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning, especially our visitors, which make up about half of our number this morning. We have a lot of people out for various reasons, and we certainly appreciate that you are here to encourage us, and I hope that we are an encouragement to you as well. So the lesson this morning is titled, God is a God of Order. And I think this is important because we've been studying on Wednesday nights about God's authority and authority over the church and over Christians, and how that he has a plan and he has communicated that plan through his word. And because he has authority, because Christ is a king, then we obey that plan and we obey what he has in mind for his church and for the Christian life. And so thinking about that, thinking about the fact that God in the Bible, the God of the Bible, is a God of order. He has set everything out to be orderly, and he has set a purpose and a way for to please him and to demonstrate our love for him. And so as we look around about us in the world today, we see that for most religious bodies, and including probably the majority of churches who put Church of Christ on their sign out front, it's basically a free-for-all. And people think, well, the Bible doesn't say not to do it, so we think it would be a good work. We're not thinking about the fact that if it were a good work, because God gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness, that he would have taught us how to do that. So rather than just being chaos, where these people do what seems right in their eyes, and these people do what seems right in their eyes, and everyone's just fulfilling the desires that they would like to scratch here on this earth, we have a plan for us in the Bible. So we're not going to talk about that plan. That's what we're doing on Wednesday nights. But what I want to make a point is that throughout the Bible, from the beginning all the way to the times that we live in today, that God is a God of order. And so whenever we look around us and we see chaos, it's not because God made it that way. From the very beginning, God created light. The word is or, and that's exactly where we get our word order. From the very beginning, God intended for us to have order through him, not through ourselves, not through what we think is good, and not through what the devil would tell us is good, but through him. And so he is a God of order. His church is a place of order. And so we'll learn hopefully about that this morning. So beginning in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And he goes on to say more. But what I want to get out of that is right there at the very beginning of this chapter, leaving the principles, and some translations use the word first things or something along that nature. Let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. So again, the principal things. So I have another talk that I give. It's called First Things First. It's very similar to this one, but it's for a different purpose. And that is, we have this phrase in English that says first things first. That is the most important things. The things that should go first, we put first. The first thing, the things that are principal, the things that are most important, the things that are foundational, they go first, and then we build everything on top of that. So you wouldn't build, in fact, it would be impossible to build this building by constructing the roof first. You have to start with the foundation, and then you put the frame and the walls up, and then finally you put the roof whenever it's all done, and the structure can bear the weight. This is a principle that we find here in the Bible. You make the foundation first, and then you can build up. And you can build on the things that are more challenging, the things that are higher, the things that are more complicated. But you have to start at the beginning. And so God has created a world of order for us. And even in our salvation, we see this thread of order. Start with the foundational things and build up. First things first. Why is this? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and let's read verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Whenever you're talking about this idea of order, the concept of prioritization should come to mind. If I have to put things into order, then I have to have some classification scheme. I have to have some reason to put things into this seriatim. Why are things at the top versus things at the bottom? If it's random, then it's chaos. Well, God never intended it to be this way. We have to have a priority. In verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." Again, the principle of thinking about the principal things at first, the foundational things, and then everything else will go on top of that. Instead of worrying and having fear about our life, about whether or not we're going to live, or whether or not we're going to have food or clothing or a roof over our heads, we should turn to God and seek Him and His righteousness, and we will be amazed at how He will take care of us. If this is not the lesson over the past year and a half, I don't know what is. Whenever you look around at the churches who are so worried about the physical things, instead of seeking first the kingdom of God, the church, the assembly, and His righteousness. His righteousness comes through to us through His Word, and learning His Word, and provoking one another to love and to good works. And so we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Nothing else matters until you do that. And so God is a God of order, and He gives us that order. If you want your food and your clothing, if you want to be comfortable physically, seek Him first. And all of those things will be added because He loves for you. So God always claims the first for Himself. He wants the firstborn. He wants the first fruits. And so this is something that is very consistent throughout the Bible. He intends to have the first. In James chapter 1 and 18, we see something very similar, and in fact a lot of other passages where He wants the first. He sets up His people to be the first. James chapter 1 and 18, "Of His own will begot He us with the reward of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." He doesn't want the leftovers of His creatures. He wants the first fruits. And those who obey Him will certainly be a first fruits. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. And verse 4, we see this principle all the way back at the very beginning, as I mentioned a moment ago. At the very beginning, this was the way it was set up. Those who would seek to worship God have to put Him first and give the first to Him. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. If you want the Lord to take care of you, if you want the Lord to have respect for your service, give Him the first fruits. There's an order, a hierarchy that God has set up. It's been that way from the beginning, and we exist within that order and that hierarchy today as long as we are obeying Him. If we're not, then we're not going to see that. Over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Word of God came in an orderly fashion. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." At the foundation of the world, God knew that He was going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Word for our salvation, so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. From the very beginning, this was the case, but He had an orderly way to do this. He didn't do it haphazardly. It had to be done in the right way. And so He did this. He sent Jesus Christ to teach us the gospel, because it is the very power of God, the word of God, the very power of God to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he sent the word. He made his salvation known first to the Jews. He prepared them with the law of Moses, again, laying the foundations, and then finally building upon that the best things. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so we live in this blessed time where we get to take advantage of that foundation and the gospel of Christ that has been delivered. And we have the opportunity to look back and see the entire thing, the entire structure that God built with his salvation. If we had been a Hebrew under the old law, then we would be looking forward to Christ, wondering what that would look like, as the Hebrews writer talks about. Searching for Christ, longing for salvation, we get to see the entire thing that was planned out with the architecture from the beginning and finally built through the ages with the culmination of Jesus Christ and the foundation and the institution of his church, his bride. So we get to enjoy that, and we get to look back and see that logical, orderly procession. God is an orderly God, and he sent salvation and the word of God in an orderly fashion. This is also reiterated in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. After the word came, it began to be disseminated in the same fashion as he talks about there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We see it described here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus. This is talking about Paul and his ministry. He showed first to them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So again, to the Jew first, and then finally to the Greeks, as the ministry and the word spread out from Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3 through 5. We look around about us and we see there's a lot of problems in the world. There's a lot of people doing bad things, giving in to Satan. And in fact, even in the church, we encounter people who are not entirely following the word of God. And so these people, we try to teach them. We want to teach them, so that they can understand what is true and what isn't, and so they can understand how they ought to behave. But sometimes we need a little bit of self-awareness. It needs to be done in the right order. So in correcting someone, we don't want to give them an opportunity to blow that off or to turn it back on us. We want to be able to show the example of God and of Christ, so that we will be able to convict others who need the help of the Word of God. And so there's an orderly way to do this. Beginning in Matthew chapter 7 here, verse 3 through 5, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote from thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So whenever we're doing the work of God and we're trying to convince others, we don't want to hinder that by doing it out of order. We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing first, and then we can help others. Matthew chapter 23. Verses 25 and 26. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhortation and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." If you want the outside to be clean, talking about ourselves, if we want the outside to be clean, then we need to make sure that the inside is clean first. Otherwise, you'll never be able to get the outside clean. In other words, we're not going to have behaviors that exhibit the life of Christ if we don't get our heart right first. You cannot have it the backwards way. You cannot have it backwards. You need to take care of the inside, and then you won't have to worry about dirty getting on the outside as you're using that cup. The cup on the outside will be clean in the process of cleaning the inside. And finally, 1 Corinthians 14. We'll take two passages from here, and then the lesson will be yours this morning. 1 Corinthians 14. Whenever I started talking at the beginning about God being a God of order, surely this passage popped into your mind. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." The church should be a place of peace, a place of order, not a place of confusion. The church should be a place where people go to get away from the world, not experience the same things that they experience in the world. Arguing, backbiting, sin, selfishness, discouragement. Instead, the church should be a place that we go to get a break from all of those things. Someone from the world should be able to step in here and know that something is different. Know that we're not under the influence of Satan, causing chaos, disorder, disobedience, ugliness, and corruption. Instead, this is a place where you can relax, where you can be with other people of like and precious faith, where you can be encouraged, lifted up, so that you can withstand those things. And finally, in verse 40, he says, "Let all things be done decently in order." And that's what we've been studying on Wednesday nights. Let all things be done decently in order. How are we going to behave ourselves in the church? What is the work of the church? What should the church be doing to accomplish the things of God? He has given us a plan. He has given us an order for these things. He has told us how to do it. He has told us how he wants us to do it. And we can do it that way. And indeed, if we do it that way, if we follow his order, we will have his peace. We will have his righteousness. We will have the ability to convince others and to further the borders of the kingdom. God has a plan. He has revealed it to us in his word. I think that's one of the big lessons that we're studying. He has told us what his word is. He has shown us what his word is. And it's not that challenging. It's quite easy. It's quite peaceful. And it is enjoyable. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So as we go about the rest of our week, let's look for order in the things that God has given us to do, in the ways that he would have us to be. Let us look for order. Let us look to him for order in our lives. If things feel like they're out of control at home, things feel like they're out of control at work, then what can we do to show the order of God in these things? Whether it be the hierarchy that he has designed in the family or in the church, or it be just simply turning to him and putting the first things first. The church, the family, and in fact all aspects of our lives will become easier and more enjoyable and more orderly. This is one of the keys for, I'll just add this on and then the lesson will be yours. This is one of the keys for raising children. Children push boundaries because they want to know where the boundaries are. And so you have to show them firmly, consistently, because it brings them comfort. and it enables them to do the right thing. We are God's children, and He has done that for us. He is a God of order and of peace. And so we have His word to give that to us. This morning, if you need the prayers of the church, we pray that you would make that known and so that we can help you in any way that we can while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.